Turning our attention to cheese now with Jeannie Carpenter, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Cheese Original. It's an organization dedicated to sharing information about new artisan cheeses. Also, so she's with me in the studio, with us by phone as well. George Crave, president of the award-winning cheesemakers Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese in Waterloo, Wisconsin. George, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Well, it's good to be with you, Larry.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And Jeannie, always great to see you.
Yeah, nice to be here. Thanks.
You didn't bring me any cheese, though.
I know, I'm in trouble.
I just had my, I said, you know, I was going to have a little snack this morning, and I thought, no, Jeannie will have some cheese, and so I won't need a snack.
No, I failed.
Well, that's all right. Well, you can make up for it the next time you come visit. In the meantime, you may have a question for Jeannie or George as we talk with them about cheese. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post a question or even a photograph on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show at our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show, and there you can post your picture and ask your question. George, Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese recently got some great attention with some awards and other accolades. Tell us about your business and your cheese.
Well, we are a true farmstead cheese operation, which means we have our own crops. We grow our own corn and alfalfa, feed it to our own herd of cows, and then we directly pipeline the milk from the farm to the cheese factory, 320 feet underground across the road over to our on-farm cheese factory, where we make our fresh mozzarella, our mascarpone cream cheese, our mozzarella rope cheese and queso Oaxaca, and then our farmstead signature cheese, our Le Fleur Fromage, or the Brothers cheese.
Yeah, and you've won some nice awards with those cheeses.
Oh, we're very fortunate. We've been well recognized for our unique cheeses and our quality of our products, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Jeannie, you would concur with that, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. You know, the Craves were really one of the pioneers in doing farmstead cheeses in Wisconsin. And I don't know how many people I've probably dragged out to your farm, George, to see what you're doing. But the cool thing about the Craves is that they've never said no. They're, you know, not only are they a great farm family making excellent cheese, they've really, really helped a lot of other folks get started and shared their expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. Well, Wisconsin Cheese Originals, of course, you guys work to spotlight the artisan cheeses.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, cheesemakers are some of the best people to work with. They're hardworking. They're passionate about what they do. You always know where you stand with them. I like that. They tell me when they're mad at me. They tell me when I'm doing stuff to make them happy. That's awesome. I like that a lot. And the festival coming up this weekend is going to spotlight 35 of Wisconsin's artisan cheesemakers. George will be one of them. He'll be there. The Meet the Cheesemaker Gala is my all-time favorite event. It's the only time in Wisconsin where every artisan, farmstead, specialty cheesemaker is in the same room at the same time sampling their cheeses. And
it's
just magical.
And how do we get involved in that?
Oh, there's about, out of about 500 tickets, there's about 20, I think there's 22 left this morning when I left. So you just go to wicheesefest.com and tickets are on sale there.
wicheesefest.com and there's 22 left. So
yes.
Actually, we keep this kind of exclusive, so everybody has a really good chance to meet.
Yeah.
I try.
I mean, I'm really a big proponent of quality versus quantity. In order to accommodate a few more people this year, we're doing two timed entries from 6 to 8 and 8 to 10, but still only in those two times, 250 people at each time. So you should not really have to stand in line to meet your favorite cheesemaker. They're all there with their cheeses.
That's absolutely wonderful. And Judith's reminding me, too, that we have a link to your site on our Facebook page, too. So if you're at the Larry Mueller Show already, you can just go and click down and you'll find it there. Cindy in Platteville has a question for the two of you, George and Jeannie. Let's go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, this summer I was at a gathering and I tasted a cheese that was so exceptional, and I've been on a quest ever since to find out what it is. I don't know if it was a Wisconsin cheese. It was actually in Minnesota that I had this. But It was kind of a light tannish colored cheese. It was, I guess, maybe kind of between semi-hard and hard. It was very creamy tasting, almost had a caramel flavor. And someone there, nobody could tell me what this was, someone there said they thought that it was a Norwegian type of cheese or some other Scandinavian type of cheese, and they thought that it started with the letter R. Now, I'm on a quest to find out what this cheese is. Do you have any idea?
Well, Jeannie, or George, you want to take a crack at it?
Well, I wouldn't guess anything about the letter R, but I would think that some of the creamy caramel notes, you'd have your Pleasant Ridge Reserve. There could be like Marika's Gouda. There could be Emmy Roth's Gruyere, some of Sid Cook's unique cheeses. The Sartori Cheese Factory up there makes fabulous cheeses,
What's the spelling on that? Sartori?
Sartori?
Yeah, Sartori.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They make a really nice, George is, I think, probably talking about their Cervecchio and also their Bellavitano cheeses.
Okay.
Those are those would fit the profile that you mentioned. You know, that this happens to me all the time. you taste that one magical cheese, and it becomes the mystery cheese of your life.
Yep, that's it.
And you can never find it again. So
There is a Norwegian cheese. Judith was reminding me it's Geitost.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. If it is, that's a real tannish color.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whey based cheese.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering maybe if it's I think that starts with a G actually.
G J E.
And how do you think that would be spelled?
G J E T O S T.
T O S T.
So it starts with G and then the letter J after that.
Okay.
E T O S T.
You know, now that I'm thinking of this, someone told me that they thought that this was a goat cheese. So, you know, it's driving me crazy.
Gosh, that might be a mystery that doesn't get solved.
Well, I guess I'll have to keep visiting cheese stores.
Yeah, keep eating more cheese. Maybe
you'll
find
it. Keep eating the cheese. Oh, boy. Rick, in Appleton, I know that you've got a question either Jeannie or George could answer, but George, I'm pretty sure, could answer. Let's go there. Hi, Rick.
Well, hello. This is Rick, and I have two quick questions. One of those questions is where did the habit or custom of putting orange dye in cheddar cheeses, where did that come from? And the other question is, in Wisconsin and elsewhere in the United States, there are many fine artisan cheeses, many of which are, you know, such as George's, mascarpone and mozzarella and so on, are cheeses from elsewhere. And I guess my question is, how come there are no local varieties of cheeses or local cheeses that would be the equivalent of a Dutch Gouda or an Italian mascarpone? How come there's nothing from Wisconsin or, you know, say, California?
Well, there are Wisconsin or American originals, a lot of them in the U.S. and originally from Wisconsin. Colby, of course, is a Wisconsin cheese, originated in Colby, Wisconsin. And Jeannie could probably come up with a few more. Brick cheese, you know, Joe Widmer up there in Teresa makes a brick cheese, and that's an American and a Wisconsin original. And a lot of cheeses, of course, most of our ancestry, it came from other countries where we didn't have the history of making cheeses. You know, the Native Americans didn't make cheese, so a lot of these cheeses did originate in other parts of the world, and we have adapted different versions of them. But there are several American originals.
Yeah. Jeannie, you want
to... Well, and to the caller's question about, a good mascarpone, Crave Brothers makes one of the best mascarpones in the country. George, I don't know how many awards you've won for that, but their mascarpone is especially known for being able to recreate a good tiramisu recipe because it's a sweet cream mascarpone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's got to rival.
I love that mascarpone. Yeah. That Crave Brothers make. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And then the caller's other question about why is some cheese orange, and there's a couple debating theories about that. One is that Wisconsin cheesemakers started coloring their cheese orange to differentiate it from the New York cheese. So it was a marketing tool. So the orange just comes from the annatto seed. It's a flavorless seed flavoring, and cheesemakers can put as much or as little annatto into their cheeses as they want.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Rick.
All right, great. Yes, thank you very much. And mascarpone is one of my favorite cheeses, so I think I have found a good source.
All right. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. And, George, what are the key ingredients, let's say literally and figuratively, for really high-quality cheese?
Well, first you have to start with really good milk, and there's a variety of different milks, the seasonal milks, the grass-based milks, and summer milk, winter milk. But we make cheese year-round, and we don't want to have the seasonal variabilities of our milk. So so we want to feed our cows the same and have our cows treated the same year-round for the most part, and that creates a very consistent milk supply, which most cheesemakers would love to have the consistent milk supply that we have, because we don't have the seasonality and it comes from one herd and it's not commingled. Okay, so that's a start. And then having it really fresh and instantly refrigerated at the farm immediately after we milk the cows, and then not putting it on a truck where it can slosh around and oxidize a little bit. So we have that milk come right to the cheese factory for us, and that really shows up in our fresh mozzarella, our sweet fresh, fresh mozzarella, and then our mascarpone.
Yeah, that indeed it does. Indeed it does. Well, we have many other callers online here. Is there going to be any judging, by the way, connected with your event, Jeannie?
No professional judging, just consumers, I guess, judging which are the 150 cheeses they like the best.
So there's 150 cheeses.
Yeah, at the Friday night Meet the Cheesemaker Gala, there'll be 35 cheesemakers and 150 cheeses. So I always tell people, pace yourself, because if you try to taste every one, you will be in a cheese coma.
Yeah, you certainly would be in a cheese coma. There'd be a way, I mean, would there be an approach here in terms of the... You go with the milder ones first and sort of work your way up? Or?
Yeah, well, every person who comes in gets a map of the room and a list of all of the cheesemakers and the cheeses that are there. And so it's fun to kind of watch people come in and they get out their pens and their pencils and they formulate a plan of who they're going to go see first and second. And then other people just sort of delve into the room and eat the first thing that they come across. So it's a kind of a fun watching social behavior.
Oh, man. Jeannie Carpenter, the executive director of Wisconsin Cheese Originals. George Crave, president of the award-winning cheesemakers Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese, our guests there in Waterloo, Wisconsin, by the way. Our guests here today, they'll be with us right up until 12:30 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Cheddar, brie, blue cheese, there's, I guess, a cheese for every taste and occasion. And in Wisconsin, we're lucky to have talented cheesemakers working all over our state. Larry Mueller here, so happy to have you along on the Ideas Network. Cheese has been a part of Wisconsin's history for many years, and the artisan varieties have enjoyed a resurgence recently. And whether it's at your neighborhood grocery store or the local farmer's market, you can find delicious and lovely crafted cheeses all over the state. Jeannie Carpenter of Wisconsin Cheese Originals, George Crave of Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese, our guests, and they'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. Do you have a favorite cheese or cheesemaker? Questions? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'll be back right after the news. Taking a look at artisan cheeses today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio with Jeannie Carpenter, executive director of Wisconsin Cheese Originals. It's an organization dedicated to sharing information about new artisan cheeses. Also with us today, George Crave, president of the award-winning cheesemakers Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese in Waterloo, Wisconsin. Great to have both of them with us. Certainly join in with your questions and comments about cheese at 1-800-642-1234. We would love to hear from you. We have lots of callers online. And we have some emails. So let's take an email first. George, we've got an email from Sue in Appleton, Wisconsin. Where can you find the fresh mozzarella that George makes?
Well, we're in a lot of the local markets around Madison. Can I name names on the air?
But sure, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a Woodman's Market that's up there in Appleton. They've always carried our products from day one. A lot of the Brennan's stores around the area, Whole Foods, around Madison, the Century, Hilldale, Willie Street Market, and such. So, yeah, Pick and Save also. So go ahead and
check around.
Check it out. Walk in, ask for it. It's available at most of the big retailers now.
Maddie in Oneida has a question for you guys, so let's go there. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. I'd like to know how big a herd a person has to have in order to start doing the type of thing that you're doing.
To make cheese?
Yes.
Well, you need one cow or one goat to make cheese. It just depends on really what you, the volume or what scope of business you want to have. If you want to be a kitchen top, stove top cheesemaker, that's very doable with you can even do it with milk you buy out of the grocery store, but to do it at our scale, we milk a little over 1,000 cows right now.
The cool thing about Wisconsin is that there's this huge array of cheesemakers who, you know, are milking. You know, you have Ann Topham, who's milking 14 goats and sells her goat smoked cheese at the Dane County Farmers Market. And then you have folks like, you know, Mike Ingrich, who's milking 150 cows and making Pleasant Ridge Reserve on his farm. And then you have folks like George, who's milking 1,000 cows and making cheese on his farm, and they're all really, really good cheeses.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Wisconsin is that it seems like our leadership has always celebrated farms of all sizes, and there's always been programs to help grow each of those farms at different sizes. We've never favored large over small or small over large. So, and one of the things I've seen, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, is that all those farmers, they're working more together. They're talking to each other. They're finding out from each other what works, what doesn't. And so we've kind of gone from this really heavily competitive phase in Wisconsin to sort of a community where all these men and women are working together. It's been really, really neat to watch.
And Maddie, thank you again for calling. Rosie in Waterloo, want to go to you. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I was wondering what's the best type of cheese to serve on Thanksgiving.
Ah, good Thanksgiving cheese. Well, I'll ask both of you. George, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of different cheeses, and I think Thanksgiving and the holidays really gives us a great opportunity to go and try something new and special and highlight it and put it out on a plate and serve it as an appetizer. We like to serve our Les Frères with nuts and cranberries, and we just developed a sandwich that for the Thanksgiving holiday, a grilled cheese sandwich where we feature our Les Frères on a some leftover turkey on a wat rye sandwich, and you can grill it, and it makes a great grilled cheese. So I think, and mascarpone also is a great cheese to for the holidays, for the fancy desserts and creams and soups.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jeannie, you've come?
Well, first I want to eat the grilled cheese and turkey sandwich with the Les
Frères. I'm ready right now.
George, can you bring some over to the studio? You know, another cheese that I always bring on Thanksgiving, and my family always loves it, is I bring Marika's fenugreek gouda. There's something about her fenugreek gouda. It has kind of like maple syrup tones in it, a little bit of caramel, and that cheese just goes just spot on with turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy. Mm. Quite often there's people fighting over the cheese more than there is the turkey.
All right, there you go. Good luck with your cheese selections, Rosie. Thank you for calling. And Pat in Green Bay, on to you now. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm looking for bruschetta. About 3 years ago, we were hosted by a family in Italy, and we ate it every day. It was better than butter, but it was fresh bruschetta. And the other thing I'm wondering about is how can we get our grocery stores to carry more whole milk mozzarella? There is such a difference in cooking with whole milk versus all this skim, low-fat stuff.
Okay.
Well, I'm wondering if the cheese is it Burrata, a burrata?
Burrata.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bel Gioioso makes a really really nice burrata. It's a handmade cheese, and George, you could talk probably more about it. It's a mozzarella and there's cream in the middle. So she's right. It's almost better than eating butter. And I know that you can get some of the Bel Gioioso burrata. I've seen those. I think I've seen those in the Cops stores actually lately. So George, when are you going to start making a burrata?
Well, we've been asked a lot. Of course, making the cheese is one thing, and then getting it packaged and distributed and making sure it lasts its shelf life and everything. And that's a challenge with burrata. One thing that we really hear all the time is our cheese isn't like it is in Italy, and we have a totally different system here in our country, where we have the big supermarkets in the metropolitan areas, and we have the sporadic cheese factories around. And over in Europe, they're much more condensed, of course, the populations, but then they make their mozzarella every day, and it gets picked up a couple hours after it's made, and it's in the store or the restaurants by 5 o'clock in the afternoon when people come home from work. They go shopping, and they're buying fresh mozzarella. Over there, they just call it mozzarella. That's the only type of mozz they have. So that's the difference there. As far as the whole milk mozzarella, it is available in certain areas, and certain stores handle it. The situation with mozzarella is that when it melts, it'll oil off, or a little bit of that butter will be released. Some people don't like that when they're making their pizzas and such, but yeah, the flavor is definitely enhanced with the additional cream.
Mm. There you go. Thanks, Pat. Christopher in Platteville, your turn. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, since there's so many variety of cheeses and in Wisconsin and America, why aren't they distributed through, like, Subway and the fast food chain restaurants, like McDonald's? You know, all I see in, for example, Subway is natural provolone and cheddar cheese. Wouldn't you think there'd be more of a variety?
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I struggle with when I go to a sub shop, and you know, my choices are the processed American cheese, or the limpy provolone cheese that looks like it's been sitting there for frozen, right? The challenge with the upside of artisan cheeses is that to be an artisan cheese, it needs to be a small batch, limited supply, made by hand, and that's why they taste so good. The downside of that is that it's limited supply. Yep. They're not made for commodity consumption. And so, I feel for a lot of these chains that, their options are limited. I know here in Wisconsin, Culver's uses all Wisconsin cheese. And I think that's been a really, really cool thing to see, is they're supporting our dairy farmers.
Yep, absolutely. So okay. All right. Thanks, Christopher, for calling. Tim in Kenosha, on to you. Hi, Tim.
Yes, hi. I'm having lunch right now, and I'm enjoying some Decatur cheese from Broadhead, Wisconsin. They sell it down at the Harbor Market in Kenosha. Particularly good is their Stettler Swiss, and is it Butter Case? Butter?
Mm-hmm.
And they did win first place in Havarti Dill at State Fair. I believe took a second in this straight Havarti, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, that's Steve Stettler from Decatur, and right. He's one of Wisconsin's master cheesemakers.
Right. Mm. Yeah, we really enjoy that down here.
And Jeannie, you were shaking your head, nodding. In,
I mean, yeah, the Decatur dairy cheeses are sort of, they're famous. I'm thinking about when the Greene County cheese or the Greene County Fair comes around. You know, in Greene County, there's 14 different cheese factories, and at those 14 factories, there's probably, maybe a dozen master cheesemakers. Mm-hmm. And so the Greene County Fair was just this past summer, and it's interesting to watch a bunch of world champion cheesemakers having their cheeses compete against each other at the county fair, and there's always this huge rivalry. And when Steve Stettler wins, he lets everybody know about it. It's a friendly competition.
That's great. Thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. We had an email from Susan in Cottage Grove saying pregnant women are supposed to avoid unpasteurized soft cheeses to minimize the risk of listeriosis.
Mm-hmm.
What are easy ways to do that when eating farmstead cheeses?
Well, you know, most cheeses will say right on the label if they are pasteurized or raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, there's a lot of really good pasteurized cheeses. I think all of George's cheeses are pasteurized. They're, you know, full flavor, healthy, good for you. You know, there's a lot of doctors that do recommend that pregnant women don't eat raw milk cheeses. And, you know, I mean, that's, you need to do what your doctor tells you. But as far as the question, that it should say on the label whether it's pasteurized or raw milk.
Yeah. George, every label of yours says pasteurized.
Right. It has to be a declaration, really, that what your ingredients is. And it has to really either say raw milk or pasteurized milk. So it starts out, our main ingredient is, of course, pasteurized whole milk or part skim milk.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. Chris in Milwaukee, we go to you next. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I hope you can settle a real dilemma for me and for a lot of people with high blood pressure. My mom lives in Reedsburg, and I would visit up there, and we'd go to the local grocery store and help her buy groceries. And then we discovered that they had a low-salt cheese, and it was like 50% less salt than all of the other cheeses. And it was a white cheese, and it was sort of a cross of brick and mozzarella, and it tasted wonderful. It was wonderful. And I, you know, in visiting her, I would buy out every chunk that they had, leaving a few for her, of course. And then suddenly it was gone, and I asked the manager of the grocery store, and he said he couldn't get them anymore. And I remember on the label it was a Wisconsin vendor. And in this day of everybody trying to wash their salt and whatever, where is that dairy farm? I'll go to the dairy farm. I want that low-salt cheese.
Hmm. Well, Gene?
George, do you have any ideas?
George?
Well, I don't know. Let's just talk about the salt level. And most cheese is about 1.6 to 1.8% salt. So you go to a cheese that has half that much salt, you're talking about a 0.7, 0.8% salt, which is very low in any of our foods. You know, open up a bag of potato chips, have three potato chips, and you'll have your daily allotment of salt. But so that's really what salt level you're talking with to begin with, if you're really hung up on the salt deal or have to really be looking for low salt. I think you just have to look around a little bit more. Maybe there's Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. If you go to their website, they list a lot of different cheeses, and you can usually find something that's either low fat, low salt, or flavored, or whatever you're looking for on the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board's website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, also there in competitions, there's always the low salt category of cheeses. So maybe, you know, look at the World Championship Cheese website or the American Cheese Society website, and because they should still have some of their competition results posted from their last competitions. You could see who won those categories, mm-hmm. and then look for those cheeses.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, by the way. We have open lines. We can get you on pretty quickly now at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Kathy is a dairy farmer, called in to say that they sell their milk to Mullins Cheese in central Wisconsin, and Mullins Cheese makes the pepper jack cheese for Subway.
Oh, cool.
So there is some Wisconsin cheese used by Subway and in that chain. That's good to know.
All right.
Very good to know. Email from, let's see, another email here, or just some comments. A caller, Pat, wanted to say that Renard's cheese in Brussels makes an amazing mozzarella.
Mm.
So you're not familiar with that one?
Yeah. Renard's is, I think, maybe the only cheese factory left, sort of up in that Door County area. So it's nice. It's always nice to see them keep making cheese.
Mm-hmm. And Elaine says on the Facebook that Car Valley blue cheese is outstanding, and it is.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can't really go wrong with a Car Valley cheese. Master cheesemaker Sid Cook, he's up to making, I don't know, 75 or 80 different cheeses, and 50 of them are American originals, meaning that he just simply made them up. You know, I call him sort of the cheese genius of Wisconsin. You know, he is really one of the folks responsible for putting Wisconsin specialty cheeses on the map. He doesn't copy the old world European, you know, favorites. He does his own thing. And that's been fun to watch Wisconsin originals kind of rise to the top.
Mm-hmm. Holly says that Todd Lannis is an excellent cheesemaker, too.
Ah, yes, Todd. Mm-hmm.
And he's from, George, do you remember?
No, I don't.
Well, we're up to like 1,200 cheesemakers in the state of Wisconsin.
It's so hard to remember everybody. Oh, man. Between the craft cheeses and the craft beer.
Yeah.
Well, there's about 65 craft beer breweries, so they're a little easier to remember. Yeah.
And the wineries are catching up, too. A lot of wineries.
Sean in Milwaukee, it is your turn. Hi, Sean.
Hi, I love the program. I am a self-proclaimed addict, and I had a couple questions. My favorite cheese is sharp cheddar. I found a 9-year-old aged cheddar down in Kenosha. So I'm hoping you can recommend what is the longest age of cheddar that I could find. And also, I love Lorraine Swiss. So what recommendations can you make for the best or most Swiss cheese out there?
Well, I can cover the cheddar. In good news, what's today? November 1st. In 3 days, Tony Hook of Hook's Cheese and Mineral Point is going to release his 15-year cheddar.
All right.
Yeah. So that is an absolutely amazing cheese. This is, I think, either the second or the third year he's released 15-year cheddar. And I talked with him actually a couple weeks ago. He put away a few blocks to try to get them to 20 years.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see how they do. But that 15-year cheddar you can get in stores in Madison. I know that Fromagination in Madison also ships it. So visit their website. But that 15-year cheddar is going to be available later this week.
Hmm.
And it goes fast, though.
Yeah,
it goes fast. And it's expensive.
Great. It is.
That's okay. Price is no object when you love cheese as much as I do.
All right.
True cheese lover.
There you go. Back to the no salt caller. Paul said that Mullins also makes a no salt cheese.
Okay, good.
There's one out there. Kathy in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I have a question about goat cheese. I have had goat cheese in restaurants, but I've never bought it, and I have a recipe that asks for goat cheese. And I don't like a real strong cheese. Can you help me buy goat cheese?
Well, if you have a recipe that calls for goat cheese, it's most likely referring to Chèvre, which is just the fresh, sort of fluffy goat cheese. And it's interesting because in America, when you see the words goat cheese, it just means Chèvre, which is a fluffy, you know, it's the fresh goat cheese. You travel, outside of the United States, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of types of goat cheese. It seems like everyone in the face of the earth eats goat cheese, except for Americans. We haven't got our heads wrapped around it. But, you know, so look for a fresh Chèvre. Also in Wisconsin, we're starting to make some better aged and harder goat's milk cheeses. There's Montchevre in Belmont makes some really nice cheeses. Mount Sterling, Woolwich in Lancaster. And then, of course, you have some of the smaller farmstead folks like Ann Topham. You can get her cheeses at the farmer's market. But, goat cheese is sort of like this rising little sister to cow's milk cheeses in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Danny in Green Bay, hello.
Yeah, I was wondering if there's any place where I can find a Taleggio cheese that's made in Wisconsin. Or at least the stinkiest, goopiest cheese that you know of.
Well, Taleggio is it's a protected cheese, so we can't make it and call it Taleggio in Wisconsin. It's an AOC cheese. I'm trying to think of, you know, George, your Le Frere is, you know, it's not square and it's not, I don't think, as stinky, but it's a really nice washed rind cheese.
Right, it's a washed rind cheese that's in the same family as a Taleggio or a Reblochon and Saint Nectaire style, and if you take our lay frere and let it warm up and even maybe dip it in a little bit of water to reactivate the cultures and then keep it at room temperature and then put it back in the fridge and then bring it back out in a couple of days and bring it back up to room temperature and keep it moist. It will develop, and there you're just offenuring the cheese. You're taking care of it and developing the cheese like they do over, or like we do, or the other cheesemakers do, where you're taking the milk and the cultures and taking this piece of milk and cultures and then developing it into what you're looking for. And if that's what you want, is that stinkier, you know, maybe a little bit of that culture, that little slimy outside that has that real bite to it, like an Alsatian Munster even, our lay frere will get there, but you'll have to do a little bit of babysitting with it.
That could be fun.
Yeah,
and then you have to have a very understanding housemate also.
Yeah, it is, gets to be pretty stinky. The stinkiest cheese, well, probably in Monroe.
Yeah, I mean, the Limburger, the aged Brick. Yeah. You know, I just learned this last week too. The old timers with those stinky cheeses, they actually ate and still eat them for breakfast on toast with a little bit of jelly. Yeah. And I've done that. If you kind of break one of those stinky cheeses, a little bit of sweetness, it tastes a whole lot different.
And well, always enjoy them at room temperature.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Jeannie, again, your big event is...
is this weekend, the 3rd Annual Wisconsin Cheese Originals Annual Festival. And a few tickets still for sale on the website, wicheesefest.com. Come to the gala on Friday night, and you'll meet all of Wisconsin's best cheesemakers.
Yeah, there's only like 20 tickets left out of the 500.
Right.
So what's the address again?
wicheesefest.com.
George, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
George Crave is president of the award-winning cheesemakers Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheeses in Waterloo, Wisconsin. Man, they make some great cheese. Jeannie Carpenter, executive director of Wisconsin Cheese Originals, our guest. They'll be back. Thank you for listening. Stay with us.